Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning to you, 908 on this beautiful Tuesday morning off of a Memorial Day weekend. Some of us had a weekend off and even Monday, but others did not. I'm here with St. George Police Department Officer Jace Higley. Is that right? Yeah, Higley. Appreciate you coming here. And I got the wrong mic turned on. There we go. Jace, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm not bad. How are you doing today?
Thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate that. Did you get yesterday off or did you have to work?
No, luckily that is part of my regular weekend, so I have Memorial Day off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you didn't get the day off special, but you did have
no,
the day
off.
No,
but I had it off. I got lucky.
So that's cool. Yeah. we'll talk about what Jace does in a minute, but, what he does, but, anything different about, the weekend that you guys had to worry about with Memorial Day? In the briefings with the big guns, and did they have anything to?
Sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything too big. The thing that we look for on weekends like this is specifically just large crowds of people. Yeah. We have a lot of people coming down here for recreation and whatever else for Memorial Day weekend. So we just have a huge influx of traffic and all the issues related to that. So yeah. Lots of accidents, those kinds of things.
Yeah, there were a few.
Yeah.
We had a helicopter crash out in Hilldale. We had a paraglider crash out somewhere out by some kind of reservoir. Mm-hmm. Blew something. I'd never heard of it until they talked about it. But in town, didn't seem like there was too much scary happening in town here.
No, I think it's been pretty quaint weekend, luckily. That's for good. Us, what's what we hope for. Nothing too crazy.
All right, well, Officer Higley is with the Echo Unit. That sounds like, some kind of covert naval SEAL, underwater. Now, cool. Tell us what the Echo Unit is.
So the Echo Unit, formerly we were known as the Mountain Bike Patrol Unit, but we felt that a rebrand was necessary as we shifted our focus in several ways. So the Echo Unit stands for Enforcement Crime-Free Homelessness Operations. And essentially we handle a lot of quality of life issues and addressing certain issues within the city. We have a lot of resources to put towards a specific issue because we're not tied to calls for service. So we can address the issue very thoroughly.
So you say you're not tied to calls, but you do respond occasionally if needed.
Yes, absolutely. If patrol needs assistance, if the city is just a lot of calls going on, we're absolutely there to help.
Are you on a mountain bike all day, every day?
Not all day, but a lot of the day I am.
A lot of the day, okay. Even in the heat, huh?
Yes, we try to push our hours back depending on the weather and just wait till it gets dark, but not always so lucky.
We are tracking right now this week 10 degrees above the May average temperatures.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it's supposed to be 98 or 99 by late in the week. So
yeah, I always kind of dread these months just in our uniforms like that, just to be in the heat and that stuff. It can be rough sometimes, but you learn to forget it.
Is it required to wear the flak jacket, the bulletproof vest, while you're on duty?
Yes, everyone is required to wear their...
Even when it's 100 and whatever degrees?
Yes, unfortunately
That's hot.
It is.
Okay. Our city, we are very, I don't think prideful is the right word, but we're very proud of our city. We like... our beautiful trails. We like our city to be graffiti free. We prefer not to have too many homeless people here or have any kind of homeless camps or whatever. Is that part of what you do? And if it is, tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. That's a huge part of what we do. So we work very closely with a lot of you may be familiar with Switchpoint Resource Center. Mm-hmm. They're a very large agency here that handles a lot of resources for homeless individuals, and that could be housing, resources for getting work, even things just as small as getting food and getting some laundry done. So we will be there to assist and speak with people around the city that we see that may be homeless. We'll provide resources, but as well as just enforcing issues. We obviously, if people are setting up camps, we have certain things that are within our city ordinances that are not allowing people to camp, and we'll also seek out people in our parks that are setting up camps there. And we give them a reasonable amount of time to move their things. And if they're not there to clean up their things, we will clean it up for them.
There's clearly a homeless community in this, not our city, but around the country. You go to San Diego, there's huge homeless camps. You go to LA, obviously, and even in Salt Lake, amongst those that community, what do you think they think of St. George, Utah, when they, the homeless here, St. George is this, that, or the other. What are they thinking?
Well, I would hope that if they come here and see how we handle things, that they would look to it as an example, something to strive towards. I think we do a fantastic job of handling those issues and keeping on top of it. Obviously, St. George is growing. There's no stopping that.
Yeah.
With growth, inevitably comes those issues. They'll be continue to grow. But I think as long as we are adamant about how we enforce these issues and stay with it consistently, then we won't have a problem like those other metropolitan areas.
Is it difficult for you as a human being to go in there and say, look, you can't camp here, or you need to clean up your stuff and get move on? Or
oh, for sure. I mean, we can't take out the human aspect of it. You go and talk to somebody and hear their story and how they got in that situation, and it's hard to hear.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that we apply these laws and these ordinances fairly across the board, we're not playing favorites. Everyone...
True.
We go to a park and we kick out somebody who may be homeless after it hits dark. You know, parks are closed after 10, but we're kicking out everyone else as well. So there's no favorites.
Jace, do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 28.
28. Okay. Nice. Stockton behind you there. He's our producer. He's almost 28, right? When's your birthday, Stockton?
My birthday is September 8th.
Oh, okay. So he'll be 28 soon as well. No offense, Stockton, but if we're in some kind of fight, I want him on my side, not you.
100% understandable.
Stockton, you can handle yourself,
twigs.
Right?
I have twigs for arms. That guy looks like he's carrying ammunition and both of those things.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, Officer Haley, let's get into your history a little bit. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? And how did you end up, if you weren't, if you didn't grow up here, how did you end up here?
So I grew up in West Valley City, up near Salt Lake.
Okay. What part?
We were just off 35th. I can't even remember. It's been so long. I don't remember the exact street I lived on. But it was, I don't know if you remember. How familiar are you with West Valley?
Well, I lived in Granger for a few months.
You did?
Right off 35th, right by the Valley Fair Mall.
Okay. Do you remember the Shopko over there?
Now, again, you think it's been long. I lived there before you were born. That's how long it's been since I lived there.
Well, and that's the thing is that I was 11 when I moved. Okay. So I feel like I'm basically from St. George at this point.
Okay.
I was 11 years old. My dad got a new job. We moved down here, and I've been here ever since.
Okay.
Went down here, obviously went to high school, graduated here from Tuacon before it moved away.
Nice.
And then I became a police officer about 4 years ago with St. George Police.
Now, were you an actor? Or usually Tuacon is some kind of the arts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. So against my will, I should say, I was required to act to some degree.
Okay, all right.
But my main focus was the behind the scenes, the building the sets, running the shows, that kind of thing.
Nice. Yeah. So Stockton, you were in a bunch of plays, right? Not at Tuacon necessarily, but he was the lead character in The Wedding Singer. I don't know if is that your claim to fame, Stockton?
You always love to bring that up.
I do love to, because I love that movie.
They made that into a play?
Yes, they did. Wedding Singer is a musical. But no, I actually went to Dixie High around the same time you did. Around the same time you went to Tuacon. But no, I have massive respect for techies. So.
Yeah, all right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
They make you look good, right, Stockton?
Oh, I mean, it's impossible to do one without the other. even the smallest of productions have at least a single techie. So
yeah,
you can't live. Actors can't live without techies, and techies can't live without actors. So
okay,
it was fun.
Is it okay that you call him a techie? You're okay with that?
Oh yeah, no, that was the
techie is not a slur.
No,
that's what
it was the title for the job.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right,
that's just the general term for it.
Okay, got it. I'm sorry, that's not... I am out of my realm when we get into that world, so I've never been... I actually was in a road show for my church when I was, like, 12. I played a bat.
Okay.
Yes, a bat. B-A-T.
Did you enjoy that role?
No. No.
Any lines, or is it just, like...
No, I had a few lines.
Okay.
But
okay.
It was a Noah's Ark-type production, and I was the father bat.
Okay.
That's a long story, and really, I don't. And this would have been circa 1978 or something.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Definitely not something worth. I don't know why you even brought it up. But let's bury it. Let's go back to you, Officer Jace Higley. Tuacon High School, and then after high school, how did you end up becoming a policeman?
I mean, I ended up just working a lot of manual labor jobs, mm-hmm. that weren't really going any which direction. Basically, a lot of it too was that at my brother's recommendation to join the police department.
Okay.
He had told me multiple times to give it a shot.
Now, is he a policeman?
No, he's actually in our dispatch center.
Oh, okay.
He's been there for over 10 years. And he kind of pushed me to join, so I went in there, and I didn't have any experience beforehand, but luckily, with the hiring that they were giving, they sponsored my way through the academy, paid my whole way through.
Nice.
And that's how I started.
At the academy, was there one area that you excelled in, or was there something you were particularly enjoyed or were good at?
I think something that I always had some ease with was just communication. We did the scenarios where you just had to talk to people. Obviously, in our job, there's a lot of contact with people that are maybe mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being able to communicate with people has always been something.
Diffusing situations. Huh?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. De-escalation, all those things. I've always been fairly decent at.
Very good. How are you at firearms? Are you a marksman?
I try to be. I try to stay accurate. Yeah.
Very, very cool. And how long have you been on the force now?
It's been just over 4 years.
Very good. And you love your job?
Yeah. There's so many different facets that I'm involved in now versus when I first started. Different assignments and things that I do. And it's all very, it's been very fun just learning a bunch of different things. Okay. There's so many different ways to do this job.
Are you married?
Yes.
Yes? Kids?
No kids, not yet.
No kids yet, okay.
Not yet.
Very cool. What's your wife's name?
Taylor.
Hi, Taylor. Are you listening, Taylor? Jace looks fantastic today.
I appreciate that. She's probably asleep. But she might be awake.
Man. Well, we're talking with Officer Jace Higley with the ECHO Unit, which stands for, again, it's long, I'm going to let you say it.
Enforcement Crime-Free Homelessness Operations.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about graffiti a little bit. What's the process? Say, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you get called, hey, we got graffiti on some wall here. What's the process? What do you go through at that point with your unit?
So we have a pretty good process here. I have to give hats off to our parks department. They have a specific group of people within the parks that handle graffiti. That's what they do.
Okay.
So if we go find a graffiti tag, let's say it's in spray paint, pretty large, it's not something that I can clean up myself because we carry some stuff to clean those up.
Okay.
What we do is we send a form to the parks department, like, hey, this is what it is, this is where it's at. We'll mark it here, directions to get to it. And within 48 hours, they're there and they clean it up wherever it's at.
I have heard reports, people have texted into me and said, there was graffiti such and such a spot. It was gone quickly. It was like the next day there was no more graffiti. It's amazing. I guess that's something you guys take pride in. Huh?
It is. It's part of, if you haven't heard of it, the theory of the broken window theory. Basically, the idea there is that if we can keep our city looking clean, that means, if we have these abandoned vehicles with broken windows and cobwebs under them and we have graffiti everywhere, the more likely that crime is going to occur in that area. So if we can keep the city looking clean wherever it's at and take care of these issues as soon as they happen, not only become a problem, then the less problems overall we're going to experience.
That makes a lot of sense. There are people that say, oh, that has nothing to do with it, but you guys are a testament that if it looks clean, if it feels clean, then it probably is going to stay clean or cleaner than it would otherwise.
I think we found that to be true.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you get sometimes texts or messages from the top, the mayor or whoever, saying, hey, this area needs to be taken care of or cleaned up or whatever? Do you sometimes get that?
No. We will get from our administration, captains, wherever it is, like, hey, we've got this issue over here. Can you guys address it? Whether that be text or email. And the best part about our unit is that, we have the time, we have the resources, and we can go dedicate time to that issue.
How big is your unit?
So right now we are 6 ECHO unit officers, and then that doesn't include our sergeant and lieutenant.
Okay. And you use mountain bikes. Is that different than the guy? Are you the guy that go around town on bikes, or is that a different unit than you guys?
No, that will be us.
Same guys. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I can't get over the idea that you guys are out there in the heat with flak jackets on.
To ignore it, kind of.
Yeah, I guess so. You learn to find shade, I guess.
Yes, absolutely you do.
I was talking with my son yesterday about the sunshine in St. George. And, it wasn't that hot this weekend. Mid-80s, mid to high 80s. Mm-hmm. But if you're out in the direct sun, it feels like it's like 500. I mean, it's so hot in the direct sun. And even, you can almost take any temperature if you can get out of the direct sunlight. It's a big deal, isn't it?
It is. Especially if you get stuck on things like traffic control. You've got a major accident on one of our major throwaways, and you're out there for hours in traffic control. It's It doesn't get worse than that.
Absolutely. Talking with Officer Jace Higley of the St. George Police Department and Echo Unit. By the way, if you'd like to call and ask the officer a question, or you have a question about any kind of traffic enforcement or code enforcement here in St. George, the phone number is 435-673-5890. You can always text me as well as 435-467-5890. I'm curious how you found out about having to do radio. Did you draw the short straw or how did that work?
No. My sergeant was like, hey, who wants to be involved in this? I didn't know what I was signing up for originally. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Absolutely. Nice. And found out it was this. Like, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
The community relations.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's what we do.
Awesome. All right. Well, we've still got a few minutes before we take a commercial break here. Tell me about a typical day in the life of for you. What time do you go on shift? And is this like a daytime job or is this evenings or how does that work?
So we do have a daytime crew and a swing. We call swings.
Yeah.
So a couple guys on our day shift. I'm not part of that right now. I'm part of our swing shift. So we start our days right now at 3 p.m. and at 1 a.m.
Okay.
And then we switch those hours back depending on the weather of the year. So we'll adjust accordingly.
You would be going into work right now and getting on your bike right around now? Or
no, it would be 3 p.m.
Oh, not till 3, okay.
Yeah, not till 3. And typically we try to get a lot of clerical work done. We're responsible for our crime-free program within the city as far as all of our apartment complexes. I don't know if you've heard of that program.
No, tell us about it.
So crime-free program is essentially if these complexes want to be a part of it, the manager will sign up with us. And basically what that says is that anybody who comes in to a unit has to sign a crime-free addendum. And what that means is that if they commit any crime where they are cited or arrested, we get that information and we will send a synopsis and that information to the manager of that complex within a certain amount of time. And basically what that does is if we have a problem tenant that keeps causing issues, whether it's drug-related, whatever the case may be, that just gives the manager more opportunity and a better way to evict these people that are problematic.
The little legal firepower behind it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we can make room for somebody else who is not going to cause issues, somebody who deserves that unit.
Is this, first of all, is it free for the apartment managers or do they have to pay some kind of fee?
It doesn't cost any money as far as I'm concerned.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is this something that is common?
We've definitely adopted it from elsewhere in the country. I don't think it's as common as we think it is, but a lot of places are starting to adopt it. Even Washington City, is starting to introduce their own version of this program because they've seen the success that we've had from it.
Is it common to have a problem tenant in St. George?
Yes, absolutely.
Every day you find someone or?
Yeah, I mean, every complex will have its issues. The good thing is, though, is that they're part of this program. It doesn't take long for them to cause issues and basically get themselves evicted because of the issues they're causing. But if we have a problematic complex, we typically try to communicate well with the manager and get on top of those issues. So as long as we communicate, it doesn't last long.
Yeah, well, and thank you for that. We appreciate it. Yeah, I don't own property. I'm not a landlord, but I can see where, you know, if everybody fills out and checks the right boxes, you rent to them, and all of a sudden they're dealing out of their apartment, or they're
right,
or it's a domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't have to put up with that as a landlord, or you know, you have 30 people living in one apartment or something.
Well, yeah, subleasing. Yeah, no,
yeah.
Especially with people that may be dealing illegal substances. It's just, it affects everybody around them, all the neighboring units, people that live there, and people don't need to be around that.
A lot of people that live in St. George, especially older folks, that doesn't happen here, right? That kind of thing. There's no drugs, there's no dealing in this town. What would you say to them?
You know, I know that there's this idea that we need to keep the idea that St. George is just a small little town that doesn't have issues.
Yeah.
But we absolutely do have those issues. And that's just part of becoming a bigger city. And also just the fact that I-15 splits our city down the middle. And there are certain issues that come with having a major throwaway come through our city. So we had to address those. And they had to be aware of them.
Do you see a lot of folks from the I-15 corridor making their stops here for very long?
They may be coming here, or they may be just on their way through. But we do have specific times where we'll address those issues as much as we can, specifically on the highway, because people are bringing in large amounts of narcotics. Typically, I mean, it's going all the way through. Doesn't mean we're not going to address it, though, because obviously if they, you know, large delivery to Salt Lake or Denver, whatever the case may be, it'll find its way down here eventually.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. St. George, as much as we, you know, I moved here just before you were born, actually, in the early 90s, and there were 30,000 people in St. George.
30,000.
St. George was smaller than Cedar City.
Oh, wow.
When I moved here. And, of course, we've long since passed Cedar City, and sure, the folks from Cedar hate that. I don't know if you know about that rivalry there. They yeah.
I did not.
Something about Cedar, St. George, because they had the university. They were the bigger town.
They were the college
festival
town.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, now we have a university, mm-hmm, and we're much bigger than them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so things change. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's get a commercial break in and check on weather, and we'll have more with Officer Higley. When we're talking about the Echo Unit, the mountain bike guys, the guys out there in the heat doing, I don't envy you today, man. It's supposed to be like 96 or 97. Well,
luckily,
today.
I'm not working today, so don't worry about today at least.
Yeah. So I made you get all dressed in your outfit.
I gotta look the part for the.
Well, yeah. you look fantastic. he's even sporting a firearm, so on his day off. Way to go, Officer. I appreciate it. All right, let's do this. We'll check weather and a commercial break and be back with more with Officer Higley. Get your questions ready for him at 673-5890 when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Talking with Officer Jace Higley today on the Andy Griffin Show. Jace, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
On your day off and everything, that's pretty awesome.
That's right. I got some errands to run in town anyways.
And you're a swing shift guy, so you're usually up late.
Yes, yes.
What time do you usually get off, midnight or so?
We get off about 1 a.m. right now.
1 a.m.? Yeah. Okay, yeah. We were talking a little bit during the break here while you guys were checking out the weather and stuff and about e-bikes. And I think, are they called Sirons?
Yeah, a lot of them. Something are. Like the popular brand is the Sirons.
And those go really fast.
Yes.
Like really, really fast.
A lot of them, they can take the governors off, and they're capable of very high speeds. A lot of them are going anywhere from 40 to 60 miles per hour.
Wow. And these are a lot of, the riders, generally speaking, the riders of these things are teenagers.
Yeah.
Usually in a pair of shorts and no helmet.
Yes.
Oh, man. I just can't even imagine crashing at that speed.
It's very dangerous.
It's one of those deals. It'll probably kill you, but if it doesn't, you might wish you were dead with what happens to your body if you crash at that speed.
The recovery processes. I mean, we've had, especially recently, we've had a lot of accidents, not necessarily with Sirons, but just people on motorcycles or scooters, and you know they've been put through a great deal of pain, and those recovery processes don't look,
yeah,
you know, very good.
Do you guys on your mountain bikes? Do you are you geared up? Do you have to wear like stuff on your arms and legs, or are those pretty much open? You're wearing shorts like you are today, or
no pads. The one thing that we always make sure we are wearing is a helmet.
Yeah,
we have to set the example. A good part of that too is that we work with the Utah Health Department that has a local office here. They give us a good amount of helmets just for free.
Yeah.
And we get to hand out those helmets a lot to kids that maybe their parents can't afford them.
I wish I could remember that somebody stepped up and actually gave a lot of helmets. Somebody's, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody was really generous because they wanted to make sure that they were available.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, so we like to hand those out to kids. If their parents can't afford the helmets, that's fine. And we can get those kids some safety wear.
If you want to text me, by the way, if you know who I'm talking about, because I can't think of, my brain won't shake it out there.
Give me a text. I know. I remember what you're talking about, but I can't remember who it was.
Text me at 435-467-5842. Somebody texted and said, hey, do you guys ride e-bikes? And then are there problems with e-bikes on trails? Maybe you can explain that whole, you know, how that all fits in.
Sure. So we don't have e-bikes ourselves. We thought about acquiring a couple. The big problem for us is just maneuverability. So we're going up and down some stairs, over curbs, things like that. E-bikes are very heavy. And that also leads into, we load our bikes in and out of the bed of our trucks.
Oh, you get a sore back after a while.
A little bit.
It's heavy. Yeah.
So our mountain bikes are pretty light, but those e-bikes can get very heavy. So it kind of becomes cumbersome to deal with that specifically. When it comes to the e-bikes on our trails, what we're finding is that you have a certain classification of e-bikes that are capable of a lot more than the general speeds that they should be. So when we have bikes that are capable of over 25 miles per hour, they classify under OHV rules. And OHV rules means that they need to be staying off our sidewalks and public streets.
So you can't ride some of these that are for the higher speeds. You cannot ride them on the street, on Bluff Street or Boulevard or wherever.
No.
The sidewalk.
No, you would need to basically get all the information you need and the registration for the vehicle, license plate, all that kit in order to drive it.
But, and it would have to have blinkers,
yes,
brake lights, that kind of stuff?
All the things to safely operate on our roadways, and they don't have them.
Okay. So what happens if they do anyway? Because you see kids on them.
Oh, absolutely. So there was quite some time we were just trying to educate people, especially, you know, these kids trying to pass on to their parents. Like, hey, this is what's going on. This is the issue that we're having with these vehicles. The department has definitely adopted a no-tolerance policy. So if we are finding these kids on these Sirans these e-bikes that are capable of very high speeds, if we find them on our sidewalks and public streets, we are impounding them per the state code. So that involves a very heavy fee if they're found like that, because we're experiencing a lot of issues, whether it be traffic hazards or damage to city property and public property. We're trying to get ahead of that.
That should be a deterrent, hopefully.
You would hope.
Is the key number 25, then, the 25 mile per hour number?
I could be wrong, but I believe that's the idea.
That's kind of the big one.
Yeah, because obviously they're much more capable of speeds than your typical, what you would, a pedal-powered bicycle, what right. I'm capable of on a bicycle versus what these things can do.
So just because you see a kid on an e-bike doesn't mean he on the street doesn't mean he's illegal. It has to do with really how powerful it is and how fast it can go.
Yeah, because you have a lot of e-bikes that are just pedal assisted. They mm-hmm. actually have pedals on
right,
them,
right.
And that matters too. Or whether it's just pegs and it's becoming a lot more like a dirt bike.
Yeah,
just an electric one.
It really is a motorcycle.
Exactly
at that point, if you're not pedaling at all.
Yes,
or there's not even the option to pedal at all for sure. Somebody texted and said it's a law firm that advertised with us, the one that gave the helmets. I wish I could take it out.
I think I know who you're talking about. I'll think of the name in a minute. I think I might have it.
I don't want to say the wrong one. It's the reason I don't throw a couple of guesses out there. we appreciate the people donating helmets. As you guys go through the city, are you tasked with a certain areas of the city? What are the areas where you guys are supposed to spend most of your time?
So typically we go, a lot of times is where our crime-free complexes are. A lot of times they're very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to ride through those complexes and also speak with the managers, just have a meeting with them, just kind of on the spot, talk with them. Are you having any issues here? Is there something we need to know? As well as we try to ride a lot of our paved trails throughout the city. If people aren't aware, St. George City has a lot of paved trails that mm-hmm. kind of conjoin the whole city. So we try to patrol those as much as we can. The trails classify as our city parks, so they're obligated on the same rules. People can't be there after 10 p.m. Camping nearby the trails, that's city cleaned areas. So we address those issues as much as we can, especially looking for graffiti as well.
There is a curfew on the trails, so to speak.
Yes, as the trails classify as city parks and are city maintained, they are part of the same rules as our parks.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Do you have to deal with, I'm curious about this, trails, you're not supposed to have your pet off leash. Do you have to deal with little stuff like that? Hey, his dog's not on a leash. You know, I mean, is that something that you guys have to deal with on a daily basis? Or?
I wouldn't say on a daily basis. It definitely comes up. But that is usually just a mere conversation with them. It's like, hey, you're at a city park right now, and just try to keep your dog on a leash, because we just want to avoid those interactions with other people where a dog bite might happen. That ends up into a whole nother range of things that have to happen. So we try to tell people, I know your dog may be well-behaved, but let's just do our part.
Yeah, I'm sure people are, hey, my dog's fine. It's the other guy's dog.
right.
You get that all the time.
Yes.
So. All right. We're talking with Officer Jace Higley, a Tuacon High graduate.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know that I know anybody else that graduated from Tuacon.
It was a public charter school. You could only get in if you were like grandfathered in. So you had like a sibling that went through, or you got in by lottery. So you just got lucky.
Really? Who was the principal there when you were?
Oh, man. It switched a couple times, but I cannot.
Okay.
Cannot remember his name.
No worries. No worries. I don't need, people ask me all the time, whatever happened to Tuacon High School? Was there controversy when they closed or?
If you were aware of like the situation, you kind of saw it coming. Essentially, the high school was just, they were leasing that building, campus. But it was owned in large by Tuacon, the conglomerate that involved the actual amphitheater.
Yeah.
They wanted to kind of get that space back for themselves in order to do other shows in the building and things like that. So they've been trying to get that space for themselves for quite some time. So it was coming.
Is there, I know there's like the Vista school, but isn't that for the younger kids? Is there another school in the area that is kind of filled the void or not?
Yeah,
really?
Tuacon essentially, they kind of made a different version of themselves at the school that's on North Bluff near Elevation Fitness and the movie stadium.
Okay.
And that is University of the Arts.
Okay.
I believe it's called, but they have a smaller school there that's essentially Tuacon reincarnated.
Very cool. I think I've always been a big proponent of the arts. I was never an actor, you know, but I played instruments when I was in high school, and it was important for me to, you know, I have my dad has turned into a pretty good artist. My daughter is an artist, a sculptor, and so to me, it's always I really feel like, you know, having the arts integrated into the education really makes for better people, better students, better people overall, more rounded people.
No, so. I absolutely agree. I mean, the focus was on the arts. We obviously did our regular STEM, our typical classes, but the arts just gives a way of creative freedom, things like that, and it lets kids learn in a different way, and it's absolutely important.
There are multiple studies that have been done that found that the students that are, say, into music or students that are into acting or debate or whatever they're into, those students are, by and large, better students overall than students who aren't in any kind of creative. Even some schools will take that stuff away, you know.
Yes. No, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think it's a mistake if we want to try to remove those kind of outlets for kids, especially going into middle and high school. It's just not a good idea.
It was kind of funny. When I was in high school, there were the athletes, and then there were, like, the band. They called them band geeks back then or whatever. I was actually a football player, and I played in the band.
Oh, okay.
And I think there were two of us. There were two of us that were in both, and people didn't know how to treat us. I want to pick on the band geek, but, gosh, the band geek's 6'5 and 280 pounds, so maybe I won't.
Yeah, that's a strong-looking band.
Yeah. 9:45 on KDXU. Another commercial break. More with Officer Higley and your questions when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I was just telling Officer Higley that my nephew is a police officer up in Ogden. Yeah, on the SWAT unit. You're on SWAT here, right?
Correct.
And I guess, I don't know, I'm way out of my area of expertise, but I guess he's like the number two guy. And so when SWAT goes in, there's like the first guy and then the second guy, and he's the second guy, and he wants to be the first guy. And I'm like, Dylan, why would you want to be the first guy in that might get shot? What goes into that decision making? But I guess that's what he wants.
Huh? I guess just the certain kind of people that the team attracts, they just look to be able to, they want to implement the training that they do so often, and that's just definitely a part of it. They want to be inside and doing the job.
So besides being Echo Patrol guy, you have several other things that you're involved with. Tell us about them.
Sure. So part of our SWAT team, our field training program. So new officers come in, they have to train with us for a series of months.
Okay.
We handle them in certain phases. So I will be a part of that occasionally as well.
That's cool.
As well as our fitness program. So handling our fitness testing every year, as well as if people need advice or programs in order to help better themselves, we will help them.
So how, we always hear about the PT, right? The physical test. You can't be a police officer unless you can pass the test. And you say, well, what about the 52-year-old desk jockey? He has to pass it too. How does that all work? Are the rules lined up for the older you get, that kind of thing? Or?
Well, there's, so we've recently completely overhauled our fitness program. It used to be the typical, you do this many push-ups, this many sit-ups, right. Run a mile and a half, right? Certain requirements there. Now, like most departments, we've gone to the row machine. So with the row machine, you have a couple options of tests you can do. So you will either do like a 500-meter row, and based on your weight, your height, your age, male or female, you have certain requirements there that you have to do as far as passing the row machine test.
Row machine, huh?
Yes. It's just a very... you basically get a full body workout with a row machine. It's a great way to kind of test where you're at as far as overall physical shape.
So what would be, you know, like a really good score or whatever on a row machine? Like how many rows you can do or how many?
Most of it's time-based. There's either distance or time based on the test that you choose. So, okay. For example, the 500-meter. For me...
That's a long ways, by the way.
You know, it only takes about a little or 2 minutes, depending on how fast you are.
Okay.
But it's percentage-based. So the percentage is based on the general, basically, physical standard of the public. So we try to have the standard of the police department to a certain percentage. So we try to do like a 50-60%, everyone over that. So for the 500-meter, if you're really doing it really good, you can get up to 80% or 90%, and then you could be for a physical fitness award that you're getting higher up there.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Maybe I'll be sorry later, but I'm 58. I'm 6'5" and weigh over 300 pounds. How would my test be different than your test?
So a good question there. That's actually, you would probably do a different test than I would.
Okay.
So that 500 meter is like a sprint, the equivalent of a sprint. So sure. You want to, it's... You're just going hard the entire time. For a lot of our bigger guys, they do a lot of like the 1,000-meter row. So it's a lot more of a consistent, like a jog to a.
So it's longer, but it's not as physically intense.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So basically, depending on your body type and who you are, there's just a test that can be better suited for you. You just got to pick the right one.
All right. That makes sense. Well, we definitely want our officers to be in good shape. Now, SWAT team. You mentioned SWAT team. What is your role with the SWAT team?
So, St. George, we do have our problems. So typically we have a critical incident, whether that be, if that could be a hostage situation, a barricade, things like that. Those are situations where the SWAT team may be called to respond. For all of us, it's a secondary assignment. It's not our primary role.
Right.
But when called upon, we have to respond to those issues when they occur.
So if you're out on your bike at one of the parks out here and a call comes in for SWAT team, what do you do?
I'm going to ride as fast as I can back to my truck and get my gear and get over there.
Throw your truck your bike in the back of the truck and
yep.
Get over there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I asked about Roll with Patrol. Now, this was tell us about what that event was and what it means to you in the Echo Department.
So it was a really good just community relations event that we've done for the last couple of years. I will say Lloyd, I believe is his name, with our Department of Public Transport department here in the city, he's done a lot of work in making that the event that it is. We basically bring in, we invite anyone in the city, hey, come bring your bikes, and we're going to do a ride with everybody with the Echo unit and kind of just be there and answer people's questions. So we have Department of Health, a few other people come up, set up their booths, to talk to people about things related. And we will ride the Mayor's Loop from Confluence Park, a certain chunk of that, with everybody. We also have a little rodeo, little obstacle course set up for kids to do with their bikes as well. So it's become a really good event. People like it. A
lot of kids.
Yes.
I think it's worth mentioning, the same with Shop with a Cop, is a lot of these kids, especially the at-risk type kids, the only interaction they would otherwise have with the police officer would be when something bad is happening at their home.
Exactly.
And so to give them a positive experience, I guess that's important. Huh?
No, absolutely. I think that's definitely a basis for the community-oriented policing that I think St. George subscribes to, is we want to be out and talking with people outside of a law enforcement function, just having a basic conversation with people so that our only interactions with people is purely from I'm investigating a crime. We're just out talking to people, having a conversation, just person to person.
I had a friend who was a motorcycle police officer, motorcycle cop, we called him. But they were pretty proud of some of their skills on a motorcycle, some of the things that they could do. Is it the same way with the mountain bike, with the Echo officers?
Yeah, we have some guys that are a lot more capable on what they can do in a bike than others.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not as capable as some other guys on the team.
Well, by capable, what do you mean? What can they do?
They love to just pop their wheelies, yeah. Going up large flights of stairs or down with confidence.
Yeah.
So doing those kinds of things. And also, we will ride our dirt trails occasionally, too. And there's some skill involved in that. Absolutely.
Okay. But you're not among the elite on those?
I do okay. Okay. You know, I consider myself average.
Are you being humble? Are you?
No, I think it's okay. An accurate idea.
All right, So regular citizen sees you guys on your bikes. What should our reaction be? You're just regular police officers for the most part, right? If there's something wrong, we should have no problem approaching you. What about otherwise? Should we leave you alone? Should we?
No, I think the good part about being on a bicycle is that. I think a lot of people think you're much more approachable than mm-hmm. you would be in a vehicle. True. So if people want to, you know, just come up to us to have a conversation, doesn't even have to be about law enforcement. We're there to talk. Unless we're actively doing something, we're free to have those conversations, and we encourage that.
Do you get involved in traffic enforcement at all? I mean, if you see someone run a red light or something, do you try to do something about
it? Yeah, no, it's hard to do, but we do have red and blues on our bicycles.
Okay.
So occasionally we'll try to do a traffic stop on our bicycles. It doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
But we've done it. It's just hard to do.
Sometimes you might just have to radio to someone else that, hey, this guy's like, going up the boulevard at 47 miles an hour.
Yeah, if it's something that like requires enough attention, like, hey, somebody else get this, I can't. And a lot of times people just don't notice us, but we've done traffic stops on our bicycles. We definitely have.
Yeah. You tap on their hood and, hey, you know.
You just hope they see your red and blues that you flash on your bicycle. We've got siren kind of button on our bicycle. Nice. So things to gain people's attention.
Very cool. Well, what's the future for Officer Jace Higley? And we only have about a minute and a half left as far as the police department. Do you look to stay in the Echo, the bike patrol, for a long term, or do you have other things in mind?
Well, I've only been in it for a little over a year now. I definitely want to stick it out for a while longer and do my
even when July and August come.
Exactly. Even when July and August, those rough months. In the future though, I do plan on sticking out a career here, whether that mean moving up as far as sergeant or above, we'll see. But there's other assignments that I'm interested to become a part of. Our task force units, our gang units, are things that I definitely like to be a part of eventually.
Nice. Maybe detectives. You want to be a detective someday?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. We've had the detectives on here before and talked about some cold cases and other things that they're working on and stuff.
That's cool.
We had that, was it been 2 years now that or SWAT had to respond to the guy that had the kid hostage out in the desert there and stuff?
Yes.
Were you part of that?
No, that was before I was a part of the
SWAT. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a big event for us in recent history as far as definitely one of the most prolific things that have happened here in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and kudos to, I always marvel at you guys, and again, we're running out of time, but the idea that you are willing to take that shot, that, and I know as human beings, we all think, could I do that? You know, could I take another human's life if it was necessary?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing also that you're putting your own life on the line as well. So kudos to you, Officer Higley. Appreciate you willing to do that.
No, thank you very much. So, it's a tough question to ask every day, but I'm not going to say the officer's name that was involved in that incident that took that shot. But
well, he's a hero in my mind.
He is.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he is.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of mental fortitude to ask that question every day.
Yeah, it was fascinating talking with him, by the way. We had him on the show once, and he said, it was a scary situation because even after you take the shot and your target disappears, you don't know until a few minutes later what actually happened.
Exactly.
So, scary stuff. All right, Officer Higley, thank you. I appreciate you, Jace, for coming on today. More about the Echo Unit.
Oh, thank you very much.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.